Yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Thank you for your help in advance.
Ja, dann darf ich noch mal die Kollegen ganz herzlich begrüßen. Vor allem aber bin ich froh und dankbar, dass ich unseren besonderen Gast heute auch begrüßen darf, Professor Dr. Deva. Als UN-Sonderberichterstatter ist er auf Reisen und sieht sich in diesen Tagen besonders eben auch die Situation in Deutschland an, gemeinsam mit den Mitarbeiterinnen. Und es geht nicht um weniger als um ein Recht auf Entwicklung. Ja. Decoding the Right to Development. Und wir sind hier das Gremium des Deutschen Bundestages, das sich in besonderer Weise mit dem Anliegen der Nachhaltigkeit beschäftigt. Also ein bisschen frei ist von den engen Grenzen der Fachausschüsse, den Blick etwas über den Horizont hinaus weiten kann und deshalb denke ich, genau das richtige Gremium ist, um mit Ihnen in einen Austausch zu kommen über die wichtigen, sehr, sehr grundsätzlichen Fragen, inwieweit das Recht auf Entwicklung bei uns im Land gewährleistet ist. Wir sind da sehr gespannt auf Ihre Eindrücke und Ihre Perspektiven, zumal, und das ist für uns natürlich auch interessant, Sie ja eben auch den internationalen Blick haben und Sie uns das sicherlich auch von daher ein Stück weit einordnen können oder uns auch berichten über internationale Entwicklungen, über das Big Picture der Entwicklungen in Ihrem Zuständigkeitsbereich, auch über Deutschland hinaus. Von daher sind wir sehr froh, Sie hier zu haben. Noch einmal ein herzliches Willkommen an Sie und Ihre Mitarbeiterinnen. Und dann darf ich Ihnen auch gleich das Wort erteilen. Vielen Dank.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and all the distinguished members of Federal Parliament. It's really a great pleasure for me to have this dialogue during an official visit to Germany. I am visiting Germany on the invitation of the government of Germany. We conduct typically two country visits in a year, so this is part of the typical process of special procedures. The visit is 10 days, so I started on Monday, the 10th of November, and the last day will be the 19th of November. We typically start meeting the Ministry of Foreign Affairs officials, and then we meet officials in different relevant ministries, and then we travel within the country, whatever is permitted within the limited time. We, in fact, just came back from Cottbus, and right after this meeting, we'll be taking a train to Düsseldorf. So we're trying to see a little bit of outside Berlin as well and meet a number of stakeholders. We meet civil society organizations. We're meeting a business association as well. Potentially some private companies, if we could find time. We meet trade unions. We met German Institute. So we try to meet a range of stakeholders. And it is a good coincidence that I'm able to participate in this meeting of the advisory board on an issue which is very central to my mandate on sustainable development. Very much appreciated that. I will briefly mention about what will be the outcome of this visit so that the members of the advisory board are aware of that. And I will then mention a little bit about my mandate on right to development and how it is connected to sustainable development and maybe some suggestions based on what I have seen so far initially and how the this committee, this advisory board can consider some of those things. So a formal report from this visit will be presented to the Human Rights Council in Geneva in September 2026, because that is where I present my report every year. A draft of that report will be shared with the government of Germany, maybe around April next year. So that allows us to continue to engage, let us say, after the visit until next 5 or 6 months. That is part of the process. But on the 19th of November, I will be submitting an initial, what we call, end of mission statement. There'll be a press conference at 2 p.m. on the 19th of November, and I will share my initial findings and recommendations on the 19th of November, but a formal full report will be in September.
Will you be here in Berlin?
In Berlin.
Okay.
So we go back, we return to Berlin on Saturday, and then we have some more meetings on Monday and Tuesday in Berlin. We debrief the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Wednesday morning, 19th morning. So that is the format it looks like. So my mandate focuses on right to development, which is not merely economic development. There is a 1986 declaration adopted by the UN General Assembly, and it talks about right to development as a holistic right focusing on economic, social, political, and cultural development. I think that dimension is very crucial. We have shared a leaflet decoding the right to development with you to simplify things for the general public, what this right entails, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about the contours of this particular right. So I think that is, we look at both situation within Germany, but also we look at the context outside Germany. Because German government, German corporations operating outside, and they have a positive or potentially negative impact on the right to development outside Germany as well. So the visit is going to consider what German government, businesses, and other actors are doing inside Germany, but also how they are engaging with other countries as part of international cooperation, development aid with other countries. And I think that is where the Sustainable Development Goals become relevant. This 2030 agenda with 17 goals is a key strategy to implement the right to development. Mm-hmm. That is where we talk about leave no one behind. So this aspiration, which is agreed by all member states together, that no one should be left behind is a very critical goal. Unfortunately, we have not made enough progress because of number of challenges, whether these are conflicts or the crisis of COVID pandemic that we faced, or the climate change is another crisis that the world is facing. But I think that also reinforces the importance of all the countries to come together and to work together to ensure these goals, because our prosperity and peace, our future is combined and joint in the world. We live in a global island. Our destinies are connected. And because of that, we cannot really operate in a very compartmentalized or a siloed world, at least from my perspective. I started my mandate in May 23, so it's about 2.5 years. And what I'm witnessing is that the world, from my perspective where I sit, needs a new model of development. Of course, we have been talking about sustainable development for several decades now. But in practice, what I see often is that development is hardly sustainable. Because if the development was sustainable, then we would not be having so many inequalities in the world, both within countries as well as between countries. And we would not have the planetary crisis that the world is witnessing. So in view of this, I'm proposing that the world should embrace what I'm calling planet-centered participatory model of development. So we cannot focus merely on people, because people need an entire ecosystem of nature to survive. So we cannot merely say leave no one behind, and leave behind then plants and animals and rivers and mountains. So I'm proposing an ecosystem approach of development where the harmony of human beings with nature is a core component of this process of development. At the same time, the development has to be participatory, because often people for whose benefit these development projects and policies are being developed, they are not consulted meaningfully. And that is where right to development provides a fundamental component, that there has to be active, free, and meaningful participation of people in the decision-making processes. So these are my initial remarks. Maybe I can pause here. I have some other observations that I wish to mention, but maybe I'll give the floor, Madam Chair, to you and maybe other members of the advisory board if they have any questions or any reflections they would like to share. Thank you very much.
Ja, ganz herzlichen Dank. Genau, erstmal. und die Einladung auch zu Meldungen. Aber Professor Lever, vielen Dank, dass Sie diesen umfassenden Ansatz verfolgen, wie Sie ihn dargestellt haben, der planetzentrierte Ansatz, der zum Ausdruck bringt, dass die Entwicklungen an den verschiedenen Orten der Welt sehr miteinander verlinkt sind und sich gegenseitig beeinflussen. Die Welt ist ein Dorf geworden durch Informationen, durch Möglichkeiten zu reisen, ist alles miteinander verwoben, auch natürlich, wenn wir an Umwelteinflüsse denken, haben wir zum Beispiel bei den Entwicklungen bei Biodiversität, bei Schutz der Umwelt, bei Klima, Entwicklungen, die den ganzen Globus betreffen. Ich glaube, das ist der Ausgangspunkt und deshalb ist es richtig, die Entwicklung auch so insgesamt zu betrachten. Unser Anliegen wäre jetzt natürlich auch zu erfahren, wie Ihr Blick unter diesem Aspekt auf Deutschland gerichtet ist. Sie besuchen ja verschiedene Orte, verschiedene Gegenden, verschiedene auch Lebensumstände in Deutschland. Und von daher würde uns jetzt interessieren, oder mich jedenfalls interessieren, unter welchen Aspekten schauen Sie auf zum Beispiel Cottbus versus Berlin oder sonstige Gegenden in Deutschland? Und was ist vor allem dann auch Ihre Bewertung? Sie haben gerade auch eingeordnet, dass wir weltweit im Moment verschiedene Krisen haben, die mit sicherlich dafür ursächlich sind, dass wir nicht noch weiter sind. Aber unter gegebenen Umständen kann man immer gut performen oder eben auch weniger gut. Wie ist jetzt Ihr Blick auf Deutschland? Was können Sie uns als Politiker auf der Bundesebene auch an Empfehlungen und Eindrücken mitgeben?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, once again. I'll be sharing my initial findings on the 19th, but based on what I've seen in the last 3 days in Germany, let me propose some considerations for this advisory board, that what are the key things that I'm looking at. And before I do that, let me start with why I decided to visit Germany. We try to visit countries in different parts of the world at different levels of development. And from my perspective, Germany is a crucial country in terms of the size of the economy, in terms of the leadership Germany is showing in relation to human rights internationally, because we have the former German foreign minister, who is the current president of the UN General Assembly. General Assembly president is the former foreign minister.
Which name?
I think I need to figure out, but is the
Heiko Maas?
We can figure out. We will.
Annabella Baerbock.
Yes, and we also have the current chair of the Peace Building Commission. Germany is the chair of the Peace Building Commission in New York. I just came back, in fact, from New York, and so that definitely is Germany showing leadership. It has leadership positions. Germany also wants to be on the Security Council. So in view of these aspirations or current positions Germany holds, we expect Germany to take leadership in this time of crisis, because crisis is also an opportunity to show leadership. The world is definitely facing multiple interrelated crises, and I felt that this is a good timing, because I was originally supposed to come in May, but then Germany merely had election recently and the government was being formed. So we agreed to postpone so that the new government is in place and we have more constructive engagement in terms of the way forward. Let me mention four things for your consideration. The first is the idea of sustainable development has to be rooted in the common values of human rights. I want to underscore that particular issue because development will never be sustainable unless we build it on the foundations of all human rights, civil and political human rights, but also social, economic, and cultural human rights. And these are not merely policy imperatives. We have international human rights law, which is binding on Germany as a government, and Germany has ratified those international conventions. But even at the domestic level, if we look at the basic law of Germany, the very first article talks about these human rights fundamental values, and of course, there are many other provisions. So these are legally binding obligations, both under basic law, and every organ of the government has a legally binding obligation to integrate human rights into all policy considerations. I also want to underscore that human rights are common global values. We cannot focus merely on human rights within one country because people travel. There are many migrants living in Germany. So the human rights of those migrants matter. We are dealing with a situation in which the trade and commerce and the goods that are consumed in Germany are manufactured outside of Germany. So the issues about how those goods are produced is a consideration, and that's where the German due diligence legislation come into picture. So that is my first point of consideration, that sustainable development goal should be rooted in the idea of human rights, all human rights, both under international human rights law as well as under the basic law, which is non-negotiable from my perspective. So we cannot just adopt positions on human rights which fluctuate with elections and political parties' different views. These should be cross-party understanding and agreement that these are non-negotiable goals that we have to follow. My second point that I want to highlight is that, as I alluded in the beginning as well, Madam Chair, that we should be looking at shared prosperity and peace. At this point of time, no country can claim to operate in a silo or a compartment situation because the trade and commerce is interlinked. We travel all the time. And if you look at the challenges the world is facing, whether these are the challenges about terrorism, or these are the challenges about migration or technologies, new technologies that are being developed, or we're talking about climate change. And as we talk here, we have COP31 taking place in Brazil, where also the German foreign minister was there. So what I'm trying to highlight is that the challenges are common, and the solutions have to be found by countries working together. And that is where I hope that Germany, as a country, shows its leadership in building multilateralism and promote those common values. And that is where I'll be very honest, I have some concerns. What I've seen in terms of the development aid and international cooperation focusing too much on the national interest. Because if I look at the coalition treaty agreement, it talks about development cooperation guided by national interest. Let's say critical minerals. I fully understand critical minerals are needed for just energy transition, but development aid should not be driven by merely this quid pro quo situation. Rather, we should be guided by the common aspirations to realize human rights. Of course, every country has national interest, and I'm not suggesting we ignore them. But we should also not create international cooperation and development aid based on this idea of a barter or a transaction-based situation, because if we follow this path, then there's a real risk that millions of people will be left behind, and we will create a very unstable world because our destinies and prosperity and peace, which is jointly aspired, will not be achieved. The third issue that I would like to mention for your consideration is that we should not merely look at outside Germany. Some of the things that I've heard in the last 3 days are a matter of concern. For instance, I've been told gender pay gap is quite significant within Germany. So the situation on gender equality within Germany is quite worrying. Being an OECD country, the average situation is not as good as other OECD country or the average mm-hmm. of the OECD country. I already mentioned briefly about the treatment of migrants. We need to ensure that the migrants who are contributing critically to the economy of Germany, they have a dignified life as well as dignified workplace, because that is something which is highly problematic. I would also consider that the government going forward, because we're talking about sustainable development, focuses on infrastructure more. I just traveled from Cottbus. It took us both ways, either ways, I mean, more than 3 hours to travel, even train. If it was in any other country, sometimes it may take 1.5 hours, the distance. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of train cancellations, delays, missing connections. So I think these are the issues that the government, because sustainable development is not merely outside Germany. It is also inside Germany. And I think we need to build a consensus to invest in the infrastructure, in health, in education, so that no one is left behind. My last point, and I will close with that, is peace. The world is witnessing unprecedented number of conflicts all over the world. And these conflicts have a direct correlation with the lack of sustainable development. The reason is very simple. The world has spent $2.7 trillion in military expenses last year. So the money that should have gone to climate finance, at least part of that money, or the money that should have gone to sustainable development goals is being diverted to fight some of these wars. Some of these are in Europe, but they're also happening in the rest of the world. So the message that I have is that we should see the connection between peace and sustainable development. And I think from that particular perspective, you may think Germany is spending around $10 billion on development aid, but if the budget of military expenses is seen, that is 50, 60 billion, but it is estimated to rise significantly more, right? So if you look at the proportion, and sometimes if we can invest and create more peace, and that will contribute to sustainable development. So I will strongly encourage the government of Germany, and of course this advisory body, to consider those connections and guide the policy of sustainability in a way that we build cross-political party consensus, in my view, going forward, where the country, Germany, should be going forward and where the world should be going. Germany has a key role to play in this vacuum that has been created in terms of leadership. But thank you very much once again, and I look forward to any questions and comments that members of the advisory board may have. Thank you.
Vielen Dank. Ich habe eine Meldung und das Wort geht jetzt dann eben auch an Frau Friesema. Herzlich willkommen in unserem Beirat hier. She's from the Green Party and she can ask now.
Ja, vielen Dank erstmal. Herr Professor Dr. Dewa, ich glaube, Sie haben ein sehr realistisches Bild von Deutschland wahrgenommen, wenn Sie hier Zug gefahren sind. Und danke, dass Sie an dieser Stelle auch noch mal das so deutlich und klar formuliert haben. Ich glaube, es ist wichtig, dass alle auch hier in der Runde verstehen, was für eine wichtige Vorreiterrolle Deutschland im Hinblick auf das Recht für nachhaltige Entwicklung hat. Ich möchte, auch wenn Sie die Rolle von Innenpolitik in Deutschland angesprochen haben, trotzdem noch Frage stellen zur außenpolitischen Verantwortung von Deutschland. Im Zentrum des Rechts auf nachhaltige Entwicklung steht ja vor allen Dingen auch der Punkt der globalen Zusammenarbeit und Entwicklungszusammenarbeit und eben auch die gerechte Verteilung von Wohlstand. In Deutschland ist es jetzt leider so, dass mit Beginn der neuen Regierung massiv gekürzt worden ist. Es gab sogar Änderungsanträge im Haushalt, die Entwicklungszusammenarbeit komplett zusammenzustreichen. Und deshalb würde ich Sie gern fragen, wie Sie diese Entwicklung im Hinblick auch auf eine globale Entwicklung, die in dieselbe Richtung geht, einschätzen und Sie fragen, wie das für Sie mit dem Recht auf nachhaltige Entwicklung zusammengeht. Vielen Dank. Und ich hätte noch eine zweite Frage, die stelle ich aber dann an anderer Stelle. Ne?
Okay, yes. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I came in a bit late. I'm sorry for this. I was occupied with different stuff. So I will just go go to the stuff that I have taken from your presentation. Thank you very much again. So you sort of mentioned that in your opinion, the German government is giving too much money in military issue. Well, of course, we have a war right in front of our doorstep, and I would really ask you if you wouldn't agree on the case that without freedom and access to complete access of citizens to the law, that there cannot be prosperity, and that both are inherent targets inside the SDGs. So, of course, if there's a war, if there's an oppressor and aggressor, you have to resist in order to preserve freedom, in order to, well, make sure that you have prosperity for, and freedom for your people. Because without it, you will not have sustainable development at all.
Vielen Dank, Dr. Feil, from the left party.
Yeah, thank you again for being here and for your fruitful insights and your clear words. I very appreciate that. I have a lot of questions. I try to focus on two. The first is, to what extent are wealthy industrialized countries obliged to provide economically developing countries with technological and financial means, especially through international climate finance, which is a very important topic for me? And the other question, you mentioned human rights. What do you expect from Germany in protecting refugees' human rights, especially considering Germany's engagement in Frontex, the European border agency? Thank you.
From the Christian Democrats, Volker Meyerlei.
Vielen Dank, Frau Vorsitzende. Vielen Dank, Herr Professor, für Ihre Ausführungen. Frau Kollegin Friesemann hatte gemeint, es seien sehr realistische Einschätzungen über unser Land. Ich habe Sie schon fast als etwas düster gesehen, wie Sie über unser Land gesprochen haben. Ich glaube, ganz so schlimm ist es bei uns nicht. Denn die von Ihnen geforderte Führungsrolle, die nehmen wir durchaus an der einen oder anderen Stelle schon ein. Da möchte ich gleich zu einem Beispiel kommen. Wir unterhalten uns in letzter Zeit sehr viel über Lieferketten. Da haben Sie völlig recht, da hat sicherlich auch Deutschland als führende Industrienation Europas eine ganz besondere Rolle und eine ganz besondere Verantwortung. Wir sprechen sehr viel über die Rohstoffe aus dem, wie wir immer sagen, globalen Süden dieser Welt, die hier verarbeitet werden in hochexklusive Produkte für den Westen. Meine Frage an Sie bei Ihrer Bereisung der Welt, welchen Eindruck haben Sie denn davon, wie tatsächlich diese Rohstoffe für Europa, für Deutschland hergestellt werden, unter welchen Bedingungen, haben wir die Kontrolle darüber, wie diese Produkte hergestellt haben, oder findet Lieferkettenüberwachung mehr auf dem Papier statt? Hier würden mich Ihre Praxiseindrücke interessieren.
Und als Letzte in dieser Runde dann Kollegin Michel von den Sozialdemokraten.
Ja, vielen Dank. Vielen Dank, dass Sie da sind, für Ihre bisherigen Ausführungen. Sehr interessant. Ich habe zwei Fragen. Die eine geht dahin, das Recht auf Entwicklung betont ja gemeinsame, aber auch unterschiedliche Verantwortlichkeiten. Was glauben Sie, wie können die Industrieländer ihrer Verantwortung gerecht werden, ohne den globalen Süden in neue Abhängigkeiten zu drängen, insbesondere im Rahmen grüner Technologien, aber auch in Richtung Rohstoffpartnerschaften? Das ist meine erste Frage. Und die zweite, Sie haben gesagt, Sie waren in Cottbus. Meine Heimat ist die Lausitz. Mich würde schon interessieren, was haben Sie von der Lausitz gesehen und wen haben Sie dort getroffen?
Ja, dann haben Sie das Wort.
Thank you very much for all these very good questions. And these are very good questions, and I will try my best to answer each of these questions, but happy to have the conversation beyond this meeting as well, as I mentioned. I will follow the same order, so we'll start with the question posed by Ms. Varismia. From my perspective, we need to ensure that no one is left behind. The free market economy is a way forward. I am not suggesting we turn to the communist regime. But what is very crucial to underscore is that if the free market economy is not working for each and every human being, then this economic model is not sustainable. And that is where the government as well as the private sector has a non-negotiable obligation to ensure that everyone has a dignified life. And dignified life requires access to education, access to health, access to travel, all these basic needs. And unless those basic needs are fulfilled, one cannot really realize the aspirations to develop fully. That's where the economist Amartya Sen, who won a Nobel Prize, development as freedom. That issue is very crucial. So from that particular perspective, the data, the numbers that I have seen in terms of the budget cuts are a matter of concern, that the money is being taken away from education, health, other social services to other areas. So I think we need to strike a balance, in my view, that ensures that everyone could have that aspiration to have a dignified life. Mr. Kraft, I think you are spot on. I think we don't disagree. We need to ensure that the territorial integrity is respected and no country is able to invade the other countries. I'm with you on that. And that's where freedoms have to be ensured against these unlawful and illegal invasions. But perhaps we have a different viewpoint in relation to the weapons. More weapons do not equal to more peace. History doesn't really tell us that. So I am in favor of achieving peace. I'm in favor of holding the states accountable that are invading other countries unlawfully and illegally. But what I'm proposing is that we need to find collective, states need to come together and find collective ways to ensure that those states are held accountable. Because military expenses may trigger a race. We have seen it in the past. So then other countries will spend more. And that race may not really ensure peace or lack of attacks which are unlawful. For instance, the reform of Security Council is very much needed. Why are we failing as an institution, global institution, why we are failing to ensure peace and security? Security Council has a clear mandate to ensure peace and security, and it is completely failing. Why is it failing? It is failing because we need structural reforms of that. We need also to ensure that NATO and collective security is there in Europe, not just one country taking all the burden. So I think collective security is crucial. We need to reform the international institutions. And of course, I'm not suggesting Germany should not spend on military. That is not my point. I was trying to clarify that if we look at the development aid, which is about 10 billion, and the military expenses, 50, 60 billion already, and they are estimated to rise even to 100 billion. So that is, in my view, disproportionate, and it may not achieve necessarily the goal of protection against any unlawful invasion in Europe. Dr. Fall, your question about in terms of what responsibilities in relation to technology and finance, I think the responsibility is very clear. If you look at UN Charter, if you look at many international human rights conventions, or even the recent advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice, it is absolutely clear that international cooperation is a must. When it comes to climate change, the obligation of developed countries and fossil fuel companies is absolutely clear. They have to share that burden of the historical pollution. That is where the polluter pays principles become relevant. So we cannot expect those countries and those people who have contributed least to climate change to bear this burden. And we will not achieve just transition, green transition, unless technologies are shared. And that is where I think we need partnership between governments and private sector. Because private companies will also benefit by sharing those technologies. Let me take a very simple example, which is not related to climate change. If German companies would like their cars to be bought by consumers elsewhere, how could poor people elsewhere buy BMW and Volkswagen? So it is in the vested interest of Germany and German companies that we have global prosperity. And there, of course, there are many, many arguments to make that. In relation to refugees, I would like to applaud the leadership of Germany in terms of taking millions of refugees. I want to put that on record. At the same time, there is a way to improve in terms of the treatment of these refugees. And I think we also need to consider how they can be contributing positively to the economy of Germany. We should not see refugees, from my perspective, merely as a liability on the economy. We should also consider that how other countries can take some of this burden of refugees, right? And how do we create conditions better in those countries from where those countries are coming, whether this is about conflicts or it's like about other unstable situations. So we need to, that's where I was saying that our destiny is connected. We should aim for global prosperity and peace. Now let me turn to Mayor Lay's question. I think my assessment is, let's say I'm being very honest, and I hope we need more honest conversations, both within the United Nations, within national level, in political parties, in advisory bodies like this. But I'm not taking any political positions. As a human rights lawyer, as an objective person, as a special rapporteur, my positions are normative and objective and balanced, and I'm trying to reflect where Germany should be going forward. In terms of supply chains, I think supply chains are interlinked. So Germany would definitely rely on the raw materials from other countries, and you would need it, let's say, for batteries, you will need it for your cars that you're manufacturing, and so on and so forth. Or even the clothes that we are wearing and selling, or the food items that we are consuming in Germany, right? But the point is that buyers have a significant leverage. So Germany as a government, through public procurement, and German companies have significant leverage how these goods and minerals are produced or extracted in other countries. So instead of thinking that the labor right exploitation in the global south is their problem, someone else's problem, German companies and German government should build a partnership and create a dignified life that will create better win-win situation for both sides. Let me take a very different example. Chocolates require cocoa beans. Chocolate companies all over the world, including in Europe, are extremely rich. But cocoa farmers in Africa, in Latin America, are extremely poor. We need to address this. How could we ensure that there's a fair distribution in the value that is being created in a free market economy? Because without cocoa beans, there are no chocolates. So how do we ensure that there's a fair price that is being paid by these companies? And that is just an example of chocolate and cocoa beans, but that example can be applied to T-shirts that are being sold in the European market, including in Germany. That example could be taken in relation to the car manufacturing industry or the chemicals industry that is quite big in Germany, right? So we need to ensure, for instance, that the chemicals and fertilizers, which are prohibited in Germany for health grounds, how could a German chemical company export those chemicals to a developed country, to a developing country? If you cannot sell it here, does it mean we are treating the lives in certain countries inferior to the lives in Germany? Is that the idea of human dignity we are promoting? So these are difficult questions, and the solutions are not easy. But what I'm trying to highlight here is that we need to work together collectively, and Germany should show that leadership to work together collectively to incrementally resolve some of these issues. Now, finally, let me come to the question posed by Ms. Michal. In relation to the shared responsibility that you mentioned, so one of the key components of the right to development is CBDR, common but differentiated responsibilities. That is relevant in the context of climate change, but it is also relevant in a wide variety of areas. So in my view, we should not create dependency. So we should not consider that developing countries start thinking, oh, we will get aid from Germany every year, this many million, and that's why we don't need to do anything. That model is problematic in my view. Development aid should not be seen as a charity. It should not be creating the path of dependency to anyone. Because then there could be people who let us on the streets are begging and they don't want to work. They are able, but they're not working. Because they're not working because they somehow feel they can get some support from somewhere, right? So from my perspective, it is absolutely clear that we create a human rights-based economy, not just in Germany, but globally. And that is where Germany has a role to play. The development aid and international cooperation is promoting human rights and human dignity for each and everyone, everywhere. How could gender equality be harnessed and promoted? So I would like gender equality and gender policies to be integrated in the development aid. I would like fair distribution to be implemented. For instance, we would not like a situation that development aid is creating inequalities in the host country. So how could development aid be used in a way to make a more equal society in the host country? So I think these are legitimate considerations. These considerations are articulated in a number of policy documents. These are not merely my words. If you look at the Savior commitment that was adopted by all the states together, or if you look at the Doha Declaration that was adopted early this month, these are the documents that all the member states have agreed together and made a policy commitment. And of course, we have the 2030 agenda that this committee is looking at. So if we consider all these policy documents, if we look at the international human rights law, or if we look at the basic law of Germany, the message is clear. Human dignity matters. And every policy, whether it is about labor rights, is about taxation, is about international cooperation, development, migration, it should be guided by the core principle, how do we create a dignified life for each and everyone, everywhere. Thank you very much.
Ich denke, in jedem Satz können wir Ihnen zustimmen. Ich möchte allerdings auch mich dem Kollegen Volker Meyerlei insoweit anschließen, als ich schon denke, dass unser Land da nicht schlecht abschneidet, weil eben Menschenwürde auch gerade in der Antwort, die unsere Verfassung auf die Zeit des Nationalsozialismus gegeben hat, sehr bewusst Menschenwürde und Grundrechte an die Spitze der Verfassung gestellt hat. Und ich denke, auch wenn man zum Beispiel mal auf die Zahlen des sozialen Haushalts schaut, dann ist das schon gut auch abgebildet und hinterlegt, dass wir auch einen gut funktionierenden Sozialstaat haben. Natürlich streiten wir hier unter den Parteien auch immer noch um die Feinheiten, aber in der Grundlage, denke ich, sind wir gut aufgestellt und das ist auch Konsens soweit unter den Parteien. Das vielleicht noch mal zur Einordnung an der Stelle. Ich möchte gerne auch noch einen Aspekt noch mal vertiefen. Sie haben noch mal betont, wie zentral die Geltung der Menschenrechte ist. Und ich denke, dass gerade Europa in dieser Haltung auch besonders exponiert ist und besonders überzeugt ist. Es ist ja auch eine kulturelle Entwicklung, die Aufklärung, die christlichen, christlich-jüdischen Wurzeln auch Europas, die dazu geführt haben, in einem erstarkenden Bewusstsein dann eben auch des Wertes des individuellen Menschen. Und ich glaube, das ist ja auch die geistesgeschichtliche Grundlage unserer Staaten, unserer freien und sozialen Marktwirtschaft, unseres europäischen Selbstverständnisses. Und nicht überall auf der Welt, denkt man so, nicht überall auf der Welt gibt es Gleichberechtigung. Wir arbeiten auch noch an den letzten Prozent, das ist mit Sicherheit unbenommen, aber im Grundgesetz und auch im gesamten Rechtssystem ist das bei uns schon auch durchgeführt, sonst säße ich zum Beispiel ja nicht hier. Aber in anderen Ländern ist das nicht so. Auch Pressefreiheit, die anderen Freiheiten, Religionsfreiheit, Selbstverständlichkeit von queeren Minderheiten, und vieles mehr ließe sich anführen. Ich glaube, dass wir da schon auch guten Standard erfüllen. Wir erleben aber jetzt, dass Europa im Blick auf den Planeten an Bedeutung ein Stück weit verliert und andere, weil sie wirtschaftlich aufholen und auch an uns vielleicht sogar hier und da vorbeiziehen, daraus natürlich auch einen stärkeren Einfluss auf die Welt ableiten. Wie gehen wir damit um? Die Organisation Vereinter Nationen ist sicherlich auch stark verwurzelt in diesen Gedanken der Menschenrechte und alles, was daraus abzuleiten ist, im Gedanken des Friedens. Aber wir haben Kräfte, die mit einer anderen Geisteshaltung kommen und die auch aggressiv sind, ob jetzt wirtschaftlich aggressiv oder auch militärisch aggressiv. Wie gehen wir damit um? Wir sprachen über Verteidigungsausgaben und über die Fähigkeit, sich verteidigen können zu müssen. Mir ist immer wichtig, dass derjenige, der nicht aggressiv ist, mindestens gleichwertig ist bei Verteidigungsfähigkeiten und dass man nicht demjenigen, der sich als aggressiv erwiesen hat, die größere militärische Stärke überlässt. Das sind alles Dinge, die eine Rolle spielen und die uns im Moment auch sehr bewegen. Deshalb würde mich interessieren, wie Sie das aus Ihrer Perspektive bewerten.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think it seems that we don't disagree. Most of the points that you mentioned, or even the questions that came from the other colleagues of the Advisory Council, we don't disagree on the fundamental values. There could be some nuanced differences in terms of it. So when I'm saying that Germany can show more leadership and improve, I'm not suggesting Germany is not doing enough, or Germany has a very bad record in relation to other countries, right? So when we visit a country, the focus is on that country. So I cannot, in this hearing, comment on the human rights record of other countries. I can do that when I visit other countries. So of course, here I have to reflect on what Germany is doing well, as well as not so good, and where it can improve. So our practices are constructive engagement with the country when we visit. We try to highlight good practices, and my report, as well as the statement on the 19th of November, will highlight promising good practices that I see in Germany. But it will also highlight some areas of concern where Germany can do better. But ultimately, it is for the government of Germany and companies and all the other stakeholders to work together to consider where the pathway they would like to find for Germany going forward. So I'm not suggesting that Germany is really a kind of a country we should not value or has not done enough in terms of human rights. So don't take my comments out of context. Bear in mind that I'm reflecting on the country visit, and I need to highlight where there are areas of concern. You're absolutely right that there are many countries. I will not name those countries, but I'm sure members in this room are aware. There are many countries who do not value human rights or who consider that there is not a close connection, that it has to be a human rights-based development. Certain countries may pursue this idea that it has to be development first and then human rights can follow. I personally, as a special rapporteur, do not subscribe to those views. From my perspective, human rights and development have to go hand in hand together. Right to development is also a human right. We need all the freedoms. You mentioned about the freedoms of the press, association, and peacefully protesting. People should be able to protest. You mentioned about queer community, the LGBTI plus communities. So right of minorities of any kind, linguistic or religious, are absolutely crucial. So I think all these values are crucial, and I think that is where, in a time where multilateralism is collapsing, at a time when we see regression in terms of human rights values, at a time when democratic deficits are widening, at a time when rule of law is under assault, both at the national level in certain countries as well as the international level, that is the time to show leadership. Because if Germany doesn't show leadership, some other countries will take leadership. Because the vacuum will not remain vacuum. Vacuum is going to be filled. So the choice is for Germany and other similar-minded countries to either show leadership and collectively fill this gap and define a pathway where human rights are integrated into the whole idea of development, or wait for other countries to take the leadership, and that may not be in line with the thinking of Germany and many other like-minded countries in Europe. There are, of course, challenges. And sometimes, because of national sovereignty, other countries may view these issues differently, and they may not agree with the positions taken by Germany or European Union. But we need to constructively engage and try to create an alternative vision of sustainable development, which is rooted in the idea of human dignity and human rights. We need to propose that why this pathway is better than an alternative, which may result in faster economic growth, but that may create more inequalities, or the freedoms may not be there, or it may destroy the balance between development and the environment that is absolutely vital. And of course, I already mentioned that there are countries taking very aggressive stance in relation to invasion and all that. And I think that is where, in my view, we need to definitely strengthen the military defense and all that. So I'm not dismissing that particular idea. But what I'm saying is that merely spending more money on military expenses or strengthening military is not going to ensure peace or your defense in terms of national border security. In addition to this, Germany would have to take other steps to ensure that those aggressive steps are countered by collective action, both within European Union at the NATO level, as well as at the United Nations level. That is my submission. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank nochmal. Ich schaue nochmal in die Runde. Gibt es weitere Fragen an unseren Gast? Einmalige Gelegenheit. Gut, die Kollegen sind hinreichend beeindruckt von Ihnen und Ihren Ausführungen und ja, auch Ihrer Herangehensweise tatsächlich mit diesem Blick von außen, von internationaler Warte und auch mit diesem Kompass, den Sie uns dargelegt haben, auf einzelne Länder zu schauen. Und ja, stellen uns dem und sind gespannt, was Sie letztendlich dann auch in Ihren Bericht aufnehmen. Ich würde gerne darum bitten, dass Sie uns den vielleicht auch zukommen lassen, damit wir dann auch noch mal schauen können, was Ihre Eindrücke waren und was Sie dann eben auch mitnehmen zu den UN sozusagen, um es dort dann auch an der Stelle dann doch auch vielleicht vergleichbar zu machen mit anderen Ländern. Dass Sie hier uns heute nicht vergleichen wollen, das verstehe ich auch. Das ist heute nicht der Ort und der Zeitpunkt dafür. Ja, in diesem Sinn darf ich mich ganz, ganz herzlich bedanken für unser Gespräch und wünsche Ihnen natürlich viele positive Erkenntnisse und Blicke auf unser Land, wenn Sie es noch ein bisschen bereisen, und hoffe, die Bahn lässt uns nicht hängen. Herzlichen Dank.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and all the members of the Advisory Council. I really very much appreciate this opportunity. Consider me as your ally. So if the advisory board would like to have a virtual conversation, or once you see my initial findings on the 19th of November or the report mm-hmm. that is out next year, and you would like to benefit from an exchange, I remain available, because that is what we do. Ultimately, we count on you and all of you to move the country in a better shape. I mean, it's already doing well, as I mentioned, but it can do better. There is always a room for improvement. And my role is to assist the country in that particular process. And I very much look forward to working with all of you beyond this exchange today. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good. Dann werde ich Sie gerne noch begleiten.